Behold, an army shall come.
A fire burneth before them, and behind them is a flame that burneth. The land before them is as the garden of Eden, and behind them a great wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so they shall run. Join firmly Lazarus, for he takes you on a journey into God's own world. It's building time, building time.
Climate of the body of Christ. Thank you. Thank you. That the ninth phase of the body of Christ is coming to an end. Thank you for the wings of the Spirit that is fluttering over sons of men. Thank you for showers of rain. Thank you for sons and daughters in the body of Christ. Thank you for abundance of revelation. Thank you for revival. Thank you because we are in the days of your power. And we know, Lord, that you have sent forth your Lord of strength out of Zion. We are the generation of them that seek you, that seek your face, O Jacob. Thank you, blessed Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to check the Bible. I want us to see a portion of the Bible. Genesis chapter number 25. We'll start the reading from verse 11. Genesis 25 from verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwell by the well, Lahadwah. Now, God blessed him, and he dwelt by a well that Abraham had built. Amen. We want to look at the subject, redigging the wells of the fathers. Digging up again the wells of the fathers. There is a generation that do not honor their fathers. There is a generation that curse their mothers. In the book of Malachi, turn your Bibles there quickly. The book of Malachi, that's the last book before the moment of silence. Malachi chapter number 4 from verse 6. Let's start from verse 5. See, I send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the heart of parents to their children, the heart of children to their parents, else I will come and strike the head with a curse. Now, the word here in the root word, King James captured it well. He said, before the coming of the great day of the Lord, I will send Elijah. Look up. And now I will send Elijah. God is not saying prophet Elijah will rise up from the grave. God is saying I will bring back that dimension. And what will he do? He will bring back the heart of the children to the fathers. Meaning that the apostolic movement before the coming of Jesus cannot be except the works of the fathers have been remembered. The genuine move, do you know what I'm saying now? That will usher in the coming of the Lord. Alright, the great and the dreadful day of the Lord is not talking about just a moment of tribulation. It is a great and dreadful day to those who are not in Christ. Meaning that before the coming of Jesus, men will go deeper in God. And they will be humbled enough to know that you are not digging a new well. The fathers have dug it before. And I will send a system, an apostolic move. It will be founded upon the foundations that the fathers have laid. It will be built on what they started. God doesn't invest in any generation in vain. He doesn't invest in grace in vain. Right? Sometimes you hear people faulting the move of God and the time of the fathers. Are there faults there? Yes. Do you get what I'm saying? Are there faults in those seasons? Yes, there were faults. There were faults, but yet certain gates have been opened. We do not major on the fault that there was. What was a mystery to a generation is a common sense to another. But excuse me, what a man represents as a gate in a generation can never be a common sense. Revelation advances. Do you get what I'm saying? But I've come to see that as the coming of Jesus is coming to an, you know, coming near, revelation is increasing, but stature is barely increasing. Men are increasing. They are becoming robust in revelation knowledge. Why? Because it is a season that the Lord, out of his benevolence, releases a dimension to the body of Christ. That men will begin to access deep things. They will begin to access mysteries, depths of God. But if we are not careful, as we are accessing this depth, we are not accessing the stature of men who had walked before us. Men like William Branham will stand on the podium waiting for the time that there will be an appearance of an angel that walked with him. And the moment the angel comes, he begins to know supernaturally. We have many men who operate in the prophetic now, but do we still have men who are that acquainted with divinity? Do we have men who are acquainted with the presence of the Lord? Let me tell you something. What we are experiencing in this generation in terms of knowledge is that it is a season that we are in the time of the benevolence of God. God, out of his benevolence, is making things available. Listen, if it was this available, if this cloud now was available for men like Babalola, they would have entered into things that these men could have accurately said that on so and so date, mark my words, that is the day Jesus will come. But these were men. Listen, the reason why the wells of the fathers is to be redigged again is because these men dug well in the season of dryness. We are drinking from a revival that is flowing, but these men dug in the time of dryness.
Elijah the Tishbite came
in a season where no one was standing representing the Lord. In the days of Babalola, there were not too many men who was giving the refs, no messages to listen to. Men who can come out in the season of dryness are the real men of stature. So while we are operating in depths of revelation, we bless God for the things you hear. You can combine 10 preachers. You get what I'm saying? They have different modules, different things that the Lord has revealed to them. We have things to combine. But we must go back to study what brings men stature. I see this generation rise and say, we know better than Elijah. We are better than them. We saw Jesus. How could you say you are better than a man that God had to honor his quest for death? And God said, instead of dying, I will send forth my personal chariot. They will carry you to heaven. Do you know that Elisha received double portion of Elijah's anointing? But yet Elisha died like a mere man. Double portion of anointing is not necessarily access into stature. They are two different things. They are two different things. He accessed double portion of the dimension. But there was something this man ended with God. Should we not fear a man that entered into ministry in a time that there was no one to impart him? No one did impartation for him. Now we have multiple streams of impartation. That's stature, sir. This man dug with God and they end the place. And sometimes we come out and we make empty boast. Do you get what I'm saying? If God will open your eyes in the spirit realm and you will have a conversation with one of these men, they are like gods. There is a well that the fathers dig in time past. There was something they knew. You get what I'm saying? They knew something while they were operating. Babalola saw something, and that thing wasn't casual. Pastor Hia Deboye is alive. I will bless God for him. And you know, the body of Christ has been the only institution that only celebrates patriarchs when they are dead. And sometimes we don't recognize the men amongst us who have entered into another dimension until they are gone. Before people's eyes of understanding are enlightened, we curse them and we kill them like we have killed the old prophet. And this man was talking about the time he was praying in camp, waiting upon the Lord for power. And while he knelt down, all of a sudden there was an earthquake. And the earthquake vibrated from camp to Ogun State and different parts of the state, because one man got a secret. The generation that will usher in the move of Christ will not build on empty foundations. The church that Christ is coming from, we will come together in the unity of faith. We will come together. We will go deeper in God, and you will get to some point. Do you know what I'm saying? You will get to some point in your quest of knowing deeper, and God will say, a man called Aalen had entered into this, and the mantle was transferred to this and transferred to this. So and so person is the one carrying the mantle in your time. Give yourself to his messages. You know, listen, true honor doesn't come except you have been given to what the man you are trying to honor has been given to. When you read in your Bible that Abraham, God told him to sacrifice his only son Isaac, the only son whom he loved, you'd say, Abraham, blessings are mine. And sometimes you even preach and insult Abraham that he slept with Hagar and different things about him. But until you are given to the same process, and God demands of you not even a son, but something less than that, and it occurs to you, indeed there is a need for us to celebrate men. Do you hear what I'm saying? Men who had entered into this dimension. Until you are given to what they are given to, you will trivialize the cup they drank from. And this was why when James and John, their mothers brought them to Jesus, and he said, grant to my son that one will sit at your right hand and the other one at your left hand in your kingdom. And Jesus looked at them. He said, it is not unto me to determine who sits at my right or at my left. But of the same cup that I drink, you will drink. When you drink of that same cup, your quest will not be to sit at the right or left. Your quest will be to put a smile on the face of the master. The reason why you have inordinate affection, inordinate need, is because you have not drank of the cup. That cup is a cup of burden. If the burden you are carrying is no more than the anointing you have, you will misuse the anointing. And the fathers know something. And this is what God wants us to understand. These men accessed something. I was studying the book of Galatians, chapter number 1 and 2, this morning. And Paul was speaking about the gospel that he has received. And he said, no man taught me this gospel. I received it from Christ himself. How did Paul knew that the same one who descended was the same who ascended? And he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, some evangelists. For the edification of who? The body of Christ. You get what I'm saying now? To bring men into my fold. How did he know that when Christ died, this happened? It was not written by any prophet. And he said, the moment I met with Christ, he did not go to meet with any of the disciples. You get what I'm saying? He went to Arabia for years to be taught of the Lord. This man knew something. Sometimes we brag and we think we have arrived after manifesting one or two things. You know, Elisha will think that Elijah was a hard man, very hard man. He thought Elijah was hard. Because when Elijah came to meet him as touching his ministry, Elijah never said a word. He just brought the mantle and dropped it on his shoulder. And if you care to follow, follow. If you don't care, stay. Those were not the times that men were persuaded to serve the Lord. You see signs, things that will make you serve Him. And when He cast the mantle on His shoulders, He knew that this is a call. And the anointing came upon Him when Elijah was living, until He was walking in that anointing and He saw children on the street abusing Him. And out of annoyance, He called forth bear to hit them. He thought that all that was happening to Elijah was a child's play, until he came under the same flow of anointing and he did not know how to manage it. A generation that fails to honor the fathers will make more than their mistakes. The generation that fails to honor them will make much more mistake than they have made. Sometimes we read the Bible and we read about men like Jonah. And the Lord spoke to Jonah. And the Lord said to him, go to Nineveh. You know, I love Jonah so much. And go on. Make a great cry against the people of Nineveh. Go and cry against the people. Let them turn to God. And Jonah would not go. He wouldn't go. Well, he thought about the hope for many reasons. He could be killed. Many things could happen. It's like God asking you to go to Saudi Arabia and make a great noise against her. And Jonah did his few things and joined themselves to a boat. When he got to the shore, he saw boat, Nineveh, Nineveh, Tarshish, Tarshish. He saw Nineveh. But he just wouldn't go. But you see, we have to study deeply. We have to first walk in honor to understand why he wouldn't go. And he went to Tarshish. And on their way there, storms came. Now, sometimes when God instructs you that this is what you will do with your life, and you try to run away from the presence of the Lord, storms of life comes. And sometimes you prefer to die than to obey the calling. And say, I prefer to die. The way people insult pastors now on social media is disgusting. I'd rather die than to be a pastor. And Jonah said, when they were casting all their things in the sea, and they saw that night, not about the goods. Probably we had stolen goods. Now we do not have stolen goods. And they casted a lot. There must have been somebody here that has offended the gods. Why? They had done all they knew how to do. There was no help. And they casted a lot. And the lot fell on Jonah. And Jonah said, I knew. I'm the one. If you carry me now, bundle me, and throw me into the sea, the storm will stop. Hold on. And they bundled him. And he said, don't cry. Don't cry. Just bundle me. And they bundled him and casted him into the sea. He preferred to die. Why? Are you aware that the people that God has sent you to, they are like snakes? And sometimes we see preachers, we see ministers of God, we see these men. They are the generation of men that die daily. God was speaking to Ezekiel. He said, I send you like a sheep to the midst of wolves. He said, the people I'm sending to, they are a stiff-necked generation. They have killed old prophets. Moses went up to the mountain to be with the Lord. And a time came that Israelites wanted meat. And because of meat, they were ready to stone Moses to death. And sometimes you can abuse ministers like you want until you catch the revelation that the people that God has sent them to, they are like vipers. Jonah will prefer to die in the cold hands of death than to fall into the hands of the sons of men. And he said, throw me inside. I'd rather die. And they threw him. But God brought up a fish. And the fish was not just passing by coincidentally. It had been following them. He failed to join the transport to Nineveh. God configured a fish going to Nineveh to follow them on their way to Tarshish. Just in case. Just like when a man failed to honor God's call for his life, something unpleasant will follow him. That is what will carry him back, the vehicle, into the call that God has called him. Some people lose their children, and until they obey the call, that unpleasant thing brings them back to the point of the call. And sometimes we abuse these men. We do not know what is carried for them on the altar. Things they have to sacrifice to say yes to the call. Jonah became homeless. All the goods and possessions he had in his life were thrown into the sea. You need to pay attention to what brought the great revival at Nineveh. There was nothing else for him to turn to. No clothes, no spare clothes. When he got to Nineveh, he was smelling. He had been in the belly of the fish for 3 days. And it was a sign that just like this, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the head for 3 days. It's called the sign of Jonah. No food, acquainted with adversity. And when he came down, a dimension of the anointing followed him. When he opened his mouth to preach, the whole nation at once repented. The kind of anointing that birthed revival comes from adversity. Adversity. That these men, God will cause some things to happen to them. It will birth pain, break their bones. But an anointing will be released. And this anointing will be what will be required
for the move of God to come. This is what makes body the undertone of the anointing. Wherever you see a man that is anointed without the undertone of spiritual body, they misuse the anointing, they do not last. Jonah was in the belly of the fish. He caught a revelation. The words of the Lord in his mouth became sharper than two-edged sword. When he stepped out and he said, "Turn to the Lord," there was a serious backing. God, in his benevolence, honored him, because while he was in the belly of the fish, he repented. And he began to cry for mercy. Why would he face those troubles anyway, if not for the people God had sent him to? So God saw beyond the running Jonah, but God saw a man who was going through all this, all because there was a calling. Do you get what I'm saying now? God saw beyond the fleeing Jonah. God had to honor the fact that, listen, Jonah, you are going through these things simply because you have a calling. If not for the calling, why would you have to go through this in the first place? God said, "I will honor my words in your mouth." And he became the only man who preached in the entire Bible that the whole nation repented, and even all animals fasted. Cattle fasted. Cows fasted. Goats fasted. Because a man through adversity entered the dimension of the anointing. Are you aware that the call of God upon your life may require that you go through something? Sometimes a very deadly breakup. Very deadly one. Someone that will have become the God and the idol of your life will have to leave you. Then it occurs to you. Let me say this to you. If it remains small for a man of the calling to fall into a pit, there will be divine intervention. Sometimes the intervention is that there will be a separation between Abraham and Lot. God said to Abraham, "Go to a land I will show you." God didn't say, "Go with Lot." You get what I'm saying now? Sometimes if this relationship had worked out, or this job had worked out, you would never have the place for God. And with your good certificate, everywhere you get to, they turn you down. And you wonder, what is wrong with me? Do I need to go for deliverance? No, sir. You cannot be delivered from destiny. This is the call of destiny. And men like this go through affliction. People will mock them and say, "We know that nothing good can come out of your life. While we were in school, we've been looking at the way you were carrying Bible up and down, and we have known you cannot end up getting a good job." But God is saying, "What I prepared for you is not a good job, but a good work." Job brings money to the table. Work fulfills destiny. And sometimes, when men have been separated for this purpose, they eat the rock of life. It is a call of destiny. Something is beckoning. I tell you the truth and I lie not. I am not saying this so we can give the devil a space and to know we will not, we will be ignorant of that moment is operating and to bring shame. But I'm saying this, that if you are truly called of God and you want to flee from Nineveh to Tarshish like Jonah, there is going to be a storm. And that storm is going to bring something that will wield you back to the point of the calling. And it is not going to be so interesting. Jonah was smiling on his way to Nineveh. He cried on his way to Tarshish. Humbled and saying yes to the call. Once the call of God is on a man's life, all the experiences will begin to gather. Sometimes the affliction, they are called for because of the calling. Because of the calling. And sometimes spirit will disown people like this. I say, "We disown you." And these were the things the fathers go through. Journeyed with leg from Ondo to Ile-Ife. And when God was going to call him, he said to God, "I want to be a farmer. I want to be a farmer." And one night he slept. While he was laying down on his bed, he saw the Lord appear to him. And the Lord told him about his calling. And he was still arguing with the Lord in the vision. And the Lord touched his leg. And a sharp pain ran through his spine. He jumped up, looking for one who had touched him, and he didn't see anyone. And he looked at his leg. He saw a big sore. A big wound appeared, and he had to leap from Ondo to Elife, seeking for men. You know, when the Lord came upon Mary, Mary had to go and look for someone who had experienced the same thing. And sometimes you will feel lonely if you are a man that adversity is separating for the call of God, until you have found your own Elizabeth. And he journeyed down. Why? There is a call upon his life that will bring millions to the body of Christ. If he takes dragging, he will be dragged. And let me say this for us to understand. It is not all the time that God drags men. Jesus was calling disciples and he called a young man. And he said, follow me. And the young man said, I want to go and bury my parents. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead. Follow me. And the young man did many things and many things and many things. And we didn't later hear about him. Another one, Jesus said he should go and sell all the things he had. And we didn't hear about him. It is not all the time that mercy like this speaks. Do you know that even if some people lose their house to fire and some things because of the calling, it's all happening because of his mercy? Are you getting what I'm saying? You may call it adversity. Adversity that you face because of saying no to the calling of God is a show of mercy. Because the same God could have left you over to yourself. And you would not be able to know what kind of mercy this is until you have seen him in glory and you have understood what it was that you would have missed if you had not said yes to the call. And this man called Akindayomi of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, at some point he went from Lagos to Oshogbo when he heard that there was a problem in the church. And he met the pastor that was pastoring the church. And he asked him questions. And the man laid claim on that church, the branch of the church. And the man of God said, children, follow me, let's go. Lead him to the church. And the moment he turned his back and walked away, leprosy covered this man up. Do you know the reason why God will choose to honor a man like that? There is a well that has been dug with God. And this thing came out of adversity. A man like Jonah must not curse people. Something is speaking for him on the altar. This is why when men have something with God, God tames them. He tames them because of what they have done. They have entered into a dimension that their words must be honored. Do you get what I'm saying? This is why this must come with an undertone of meekness, so that the people of God can be safe around them. If care is not taken, people will not be saved. This man didn't curse this pastor. The moment he turned his back, leprosy covered him up. Do you know the reason why you might get angry as a young pastor and then curse people, and yet God will not honor it? Because there is no meekness. 1, 2, there is nothing speaking on the altar. Let me tell you something. The things that speak on the altar for men is not just fasting and prayer alone. These men themselves have become the sacrifice. They have become what? The sacrifice. I know of a minister of God that his children, all of them died in one day, and he went to preach the following day. These are no longer men in the class of men. God honors resoluteness like this. And this is why angels see men and salute them. Because they are amazed that even angels are worshipping God because they have seen his glory. These men are on earth and they can be this sold out to God. They respect that fact. Why do you think angels would defend some men with their lives? Because the angels watch them and they learn. The angels know that they have seen something about God. But these men have not seen God as he is. They have seen a glimpse. And yet they are this dogged. Peter was going to be crucified like Jesus. And he said, I'm not worthy of that kind of death. Turn me upside down. Don't kill me like you killed my master. An angel sat and said, Jesus saw something. Peter, what did you see? These are the kind of men to be feared. You claim to know much, but the fathers didn't know more than up to what you know now. But they access deeper. Be afraid. And we are just looking at the man Jonah. And when Jonah came to Nineveh, stood as he was speaking, tons, thousands, millions of angels were backing him up. Why? He had tasted adversity for the people. The revival they were receiving was from the pain of one man. Sometimes we claim to be agents of revival,
But can you be placed on the line for the people?
So that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. When God spoke well of his offerings, by faith, Abel still speaks, even though dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Hold on. Let me say this to us. Look up. This is just by the way. It was said about Enoch that by faith, right? He walked with God. Huh? And he was not. Huh? Why? God took him. talk to me. Did God actually take him? God took him. And he did not die. Hold on. God did what? Took him. You know, sometimes I've heard people trying to explain scriptures saying that Elijah came down as John the Baptist, meaning that John the Baptist was Elijah. When we get to heaven, there's no John the Baptist, there's no Elijah. They are the same person. And that's wrong. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? That's wrong. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. What was the spirit of Elijah? It is the spirit that brings emergence of men in the moment that the earth is going through its darkest phase. Elijah the Tishbite came when Jezebel was a system at work. John the Baptist came when Herodias was the system at work, carrying the same dimension of Jezebel, and he carrying the same dimension of Elijah. Do you understand that? But Elijah himself did not taste death. Hold on. There are deeper things in God. What do you think you know? What do you know? Because Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he said, there are some of you here who will not taste death till I return. And he was speaking about John. And John was thrown into red oil. And listen, in those days, we don't throw you into oil just to play with you. They fried him. But he has been exempted from those that death could take charge over. They fried him. And they were shocked he didn't die. They didn't just throw him into the oil and brought him out immediately. They left him there. They fried him. But death couldn't take him. And they took him and cast him on an island of Patmos. And there was no account of his death. Could it be that he's obeying the scripture that you will not see death till I come? There are mysteries in God beyond what you think. There are some old saints who only entered into their immortal state while on earth. John never saw death. You might have any theology around this, it doesn't matter. When Adam fell, when he lost his divine nature, it took him over 900 years to learn how to die.
Yes, 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 yes.
From the time of Jesus till date is 2000 years plus. Do you think it cost God any special thing to keep a man alive for over 2000 years? This earth is surrounded with mysteries beyond what you think you know. There are deep things in this earth. Look up. Mysteries. I do not know how this will sound, but there are many things I do not hear. I was praying, waiting upon the Lord for a dimension in my life. One of the characters I love to study about in the Bible is Moses. And, you know, out of my curiosity, I started asking God, what happened to Moses?
We knew according to scripture he died. Angels didn't carry his body away. Archaeologists had dug around that place and there was no body. And God said to me, said, because anything that comes to the cross gets hidden in the cross. He said, how do you mean, Lord? He took me in a vision. I think I shared at some point. And he said, Moses was buried like one that was hanged on the cross as a type and shadow of what is to come. These are not things we share because there are no, we will not tell you, okay, this is the scripture to hold for you. But there are deep things in God. And some things are just veiled from human eyes for a reason. Babalola ate from the corn of heaven. And he began to have unusual capacity for fasting. Babalola didn't fast because he was struggling to. He ate angel's bread. And while on earth, food became loathsome to him. He only felt normal when he wasn't eating. He saw something. And this is a man called Enoch. He walked with God and was not. Till today, Enoch is not dead. Is that not what the Bible is saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Over 6,000 years. If you say these things are not real, are you aware that when the rapture comes, we also will not die and will live for uncountable years? Do you think it cost God a thing to keep him alive for over 2,000 years? And these are deep mysteries. And that's why I ask you, what do you think you know about God? Do you think you know all there is? Because Paul said, I know a man, whether in the spirit or in the flesh, I do not know. Meaning, don't ask me questions. And he was taken to the third heavens and he heard things that are unlawful for men to see. When you see people come to the altar and brag about visions, they have not seen the depth of it. When you see the depth of it, you will not have utterance for it. Let me tell you what happened to Enoch. This is what happens to every man that is walking with God. When you see a man that is genuinely walking with God, his body is more than his anointing. His body is more than what? That is why when they talk to you, it is heavy. Why? They are talking from something they have seen. They know what should be and they are seeing what you are doing. There is something beating their heart, so they are not men of plenty words. But when they tell you the few, it looks like the whole world is sitting on your heart. Enoch walked with God. Was it a coincidence? Now, the process Enoch went through, we were not told before he was not. But I can tell you from experience, when you walk with God to a certain level, you will not feel at all on earth again. What did I say? When you walk with God to a certain level, if care is not taken, you will not feel at home on earth again. If care is not taken, like Elijah, you may cry that God should take you. If God should show you a glimpse of heaven today, you will want to leave the earth anytime soon. So, when men walk with God, their burden is plenty. Sometimes they look at you talking to them and they know what you are saying is empty because they have seen something. You know, sometimes I love mathematics very well. And you see someone coming and bragging that I know math. And probably you start working together and you see them do one or two things and you wonder in your heart, what is he doing? Because the ability to brag only exists in a realm where there's no depth. The deeper you go, one of the things that will constitute your prayer point is utterance. Because you have seen things that there are no adjectives for their explanation. Let me say this to you. There is Bible school on earth. Then there is the school of the spirit. Revelation that is divine is superior to any Bible school. Archbishop Benson Idahosa was in Gordon Lee's Day Bible school. And he saw a vision about Africa. And he couldn't continue. And he went and said, God will have me leave now and go back to Africa. Amongst everyone in his set, he was the only one that great man, Gordon Lee's Day, prayed for before he died. And he came to Africa a year after, before the rest graduated. The man of God died. He didn't complete Bible school, but he entered into the school of the Spirit. And many times we have certificates of 10 Bible schools, but we have no access to revelation knowledge. Hence, we become like the Sanhedrins, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We are the one that we become the last to see the move of God because we have accessed knowledge according to books, not according to the Spirit. Babalola saw something, and it was no longer normal. A time came in his life. He was coming back from the mountain. His wife, they were always having issues. Babalola's wife wasn't a witch as she was painted. She was always concerned about him and his health. In a bid to protect him, she began to look like a witch. She was not a witch. She was not a wicked woman. And she will quarrel with him. You are going through too much stress. But he was a man who was given to angels' food. And while he was away for one of his mission trips, his son died. And he got home, picked the son, took the son to his prayer mountain. And while he wanted to pray, God asked him, pick between this boy or CAC. And the man of God broke into tears. This is why you cannot understand men of the Spirit. They have left the zone that your own understanding functions. You can only understand them by faith. What is a foolishness to God is what the world calls its greatest wisdom asset. So the people of the world can never understand the things of God. It cannot make sense. I see the Lord beckoning us to come and drink of the waters that our fathers found while they were walking with God in the wilderness. They found something. They saw something. They saw something. The fathers are not fools. They might not be perfect, but they saw something. Do you know it is until you enter into the core where the burden of a whole generation is laid on your shoulder before you can know that it is not easy and you can make mistakes? The fathers saw something. Before the coming of the great day of the Lord, I will send a move, and the heart of the children will be drawn back to the fathers. Meaning that a generation will come that will be interested in the stories of what God did to the fathers. These men will begin to ask questions about what God did to them.
what did God do to Babalola? That while he was on earth, he didn't walk in pride. Despite that level of glory, God did something to them.
I understand that part of the package for this dimension of bringing something the world is not familiar with, part of the package is heavy dose of criticism. Because the world judges wrongly what it is not acquainted with. And there is dose of criticism. And when you are asking God to make you a man that will bear something in your generation, God is looking at you. You can't even tolerate small level of insult. Are you aware that demons will penetrate men, invade them, and use them to criticize you if you are going to build something that will injure the kingdom of darkness? He will operate through them, and they will see as touching you, crucify him while they are setting a thief free. And you look at men like Iya Adeboye, I love him, he's my role model. And you see these men, these were the kind of men that the Bible said of whom the world is not worthy of. And they wander about in sheepskin. And this man keep walking cheerfully day by day, knowing fully well that all I want is that I must finish well. And you say so much. And they have structured their life in such a way that both their praisers and those who are criticizing them, they will give neither of the both of you attention. Neither those praising them or those criticizing them, they give neither of you attention. God did something to the fathers that made them more conscious of the work, irrespective of the level of glory. You have not seen any glory, but you are distracted from the work. Do you know that these men had no social media? They were only doing what they were doing in the places where they were doing it, and the whole world gathered to watch them. Another generation came when they were gone, and they asked questions about them. If you give birth to a child today, sooner or later, the child will know that someone had walked this place called Archbishop Benjamin Idahosa. The day of social media that kept talking for generations that you must remember us. Walks speaks. God will want to do to your heart is to bring you to the consciousness of the fact that if you stay with the Lord, if you stay with the Lord, do you get what I'm saying? You will generate a fire that people will topple on themselves from different places to come and watch you burn. Your duty is not publicity. Your duty is staying with the Lord. No, you were. Bishop Sam was sharing with me about a man that was having inauguration into ministry, right? Huh? And then people gather to begin to give money right and left. We bless God for that level of benevolence. Do you get what I'm saying? But there are some of us around town. We didn't even know that they used to give money for inauguration. All we were carrying, the fire and the promises of God. And sometimes we have people who have the resources but not the burden. And they operate and no one comes to watch them burn. People don't come to listen to resources, they come to listen to something. Fire. Fire is the language. If you think the secret of the move of God is in buying gadgets, keep buying. You will soon sell them to buy books that will teach you that waiting upon the Lord is secret. Do you get what I'm saying? Babalola has no megaphone. We bless God for gadgets. It is good to preserve things, but it is not the secret. It only traps something that you have on the inside. If there's nothing there, it is empty noise. And we can put men who are dead on living altars. And they kill the pew the more. Because a dead man is speaking into a living microphone. And the people hear dead all the time. When we mass produce men who have no walk with God, they make move of God become monuments. We must introduce men to something the Father ate, something they drank from. So they will not come and begin to make empty noises like men who have seen something when yet they have not seen. We read of the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. And the Bible talk about these men and how great things were done to them. Women received their dead back to life. Different things happened to them. But in conclusion, this was the secret. These men of whom the world is not worthy of, despite the glory, they have their own tent in the wilderness. Meaning that after you have called some of us for programs, and you have celebrated, we bless God for this great apostle. Thank God for this man of God. We have a wilderness that we now retire to in our secret place. And we go back there. After you have given us the glory, we go back to the fire. And all we are seeing is burning. We forsake all the words you have said. We don't hear them. We lock ourselves up and we lean down and we are in tears again. This was the experience of this man. You see them, you celebrate God for their jeep, but in the jeep is a wilderness. You celebrate God for the air condition and the good food they have access to, but there is a body that has made food become loathsome. You see the fine mansion, but you don't see that in the mansion there are rocks, mountains, wilderness. This man barely sleep on his fine bed. There are wilderness. And while he's inside the bus, the jeep with AC, he's not feeling AC. He's burning. And this man, because what we had read about Abraham before was that he had many cattle. But we didn't know he was roaming about in sheep's skin. They have seen something in God and they know how long the head will have to walk to get there. And the burden consumes them. And they are crying. And they have to roam about in sheepskin. They were not celebrities. They were not looking for people to promote them. Nobody can promote the gospel. It is the burden that promotes it. The burden is Holy Ghost sponsored. And these men, despite the fine things they have, the good suits, they are not seeing them. In that suit is a sweat you are not seeing. And they roam about in sheep's skin. The Bible said, these men, the world is not worthy of them. Yes, you tell me that God gave them plenty financial resources, but God first killed them to eat. This is what the Father saw. This was what they what was revealed to them. They saw something, and they no longer feel convenient anymore. When resources comes to them, all they see is the kingdom. And this is why Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom." When you seek ye first the kingdom, what the kingdom do to you is that the kingdom kills you to all other things that will be added. So when they are added, they are not for your pleasure. They become tools for the kingdom. Meaning that when I seek the kingdom of God, it gives me a long table. When it gives me a long table, I don't build a tall fence. I invite my enemies to eat also. And there is a need for God to touch the heart of men in this generation again. I need to announce to you that when you say you are more stature than Babalola, you have to think again. You have to think again. You might say you know some things that was not available then. We didn't know what they know because there was no message.
no recording, but this man knew something. While you are talking your jargons, they might just say three things, and you sit down in humility and learn. In a vision, I stood face to face with Babalola. I could not comprehend him. He was not a normal man. He was preaching, there was no microphone. I was afraid. I woke up terrified. And where you stand, and you abuse men like A. Allen, and said he was given to this and given to that, think again. These men, there might be a record that some of them died early, but sir, they and this generation who is actually dying early, they in their death, yes, speak it. Many in their 90s, they are not speaking anything. Who died early? Babalola died at 55. We are still talking about him till today. You have people who are 80, 90, 100. There is no record, though alive, but they are only existing. These men, though dead, they are still living. They saw something. They saw something. And there is a need for this generation. We will gather ourselves, our parchment, in humility. We will go back to the wells that our fathers dug. Do you understand? We will drink of that same water and we will be healed.
Amen.
We will go back to the wells they dug. If stature was increasing, the way knowledge is increasing, by now, some men would have become terrible things to the earth. But knowledge is increasing, stature is not. And sometimes, the Lord is saying, I am still interested in visiting your generation. Even if you claim that some of the fathers were like Eli, honored an Eli that taught your Samuel how to hear from God. You might not honor them, but the God they serve honor the path they did. And you must be humble to know. Listen. God is not unjust to forget our labors of love, both ours and those of our fathers. So don't think God threw them away or he trashed them. God doesn't trash men who have worked for him, even if they didn't do too well. So in your humility, keep quiet and shun bitterness against movements that have been in the body of Christ. And learn what this man did. God doesn't trash his soldiers. Saul had walked away from the Lord, but God will still not have David touching.
Yes, sir.
David touched the hem of his garment and he was disciplined. God does not bring men who have walked with him into disrepute, irrespective of their mistakes. You should not copy their mistakes. But until you honor them, you will not even see the mistakes. What you do is that you judge them and you repeat the same thing in grand style. And we cry to God. You, with all the gadgets, all the sophistication you have, you struggle for the move of the Spirit in meetings. Babalola didn't know as much as you do. You claim so, right? And before they say one or two things, God comes down and says, when this man speak, I must honor it. Because there is a sacrifice speaking on the altar. When this one speak, I must honor it. Why do you think those demons say that Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? They are not asking for their identity per se. They are asking for what is speaking for them. Go ahead. Cry to the Lord. Cry to him. We will speak of the wells that our fathers dug and be healed.
we may learn in humility and recognize the fact that some men walk with God and they have a place in God. We are not a generation of those that stoned the fathers. We honor the work that God has done to them. We drink of this water and we are healed. Amen. Amen. Look up. On Tuesday, I was sharing about the young lady, Leah Sharib, about what I read about her in Boko Haram camp. Do you understand? And how that whenever anyone is sick in the camp, having any form of sickness, the only person they know to call is Leah Sharibu, a young lady that has been raised by the Lord to show to us that we can stay without denying Jesus. And this girl, in that adversity, has increased in ranking, in stature. Let me say this to you. Adversity. We don't pray for it. I'm not praying for you to enter into adversity. But sometimes the call of God on a man's life requires that he passes through fire. And when he does faithfully, the ranking increases. This is why God breaks his men before he introduces them. There is something about the breaking that makes the word a sharp sword in your mouth. And some of these Boko Haram guys might even know that they dare not touch this girl. They might have experienced that sometimes if the soldiers are closing up on them, maybe when she is close by, something speaks again. Unbelievers understand those carrying stature. Potiphar knew that because of Joseph, God prospered him. He knew. True or not true? He knew. Listen, the species of Christians that the church is trying to mass produce now are not those that can usher in the move of Christ. They are those that have been taught to stay only where they are celebrated and not where they are tolerated. The call of God will have you cook where you are tolerated so you can be cooked. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Huh? You will have to cook where you are what? Tolerated and be cooked. Training is not sweet. When you are being trained, you feel like you are being tolerated. True or not true? But that is the process that cooks you. But when you tell some Christians, sit here, now sit down there, they tell you, the Lord said, I should leave. Because there is a generation that cannot endure sound doctrine. And they eat for themselves, teachers, fashioned for their lust. That is, those that will be exactly what they want. I want pastors who will not give me trouble. The teachers that will come for them will be exactly what they want. Many of you know Babalola, but I beg it with you. You cannot go with him as your discipler. Huh? If a man like that will disciple you, you will want to run away. True or not true? Talk to me. Huh? They are hard. Their ways are no longer the ways of men. And that's why I ask people, if you see what you need, will you want it? Because you are crying that God should reveal something. You only want to be a thief who will steal knowledge in the head and run away. There is a process that bears true knowledge. It is for sons. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Hallelujah. There is a process that bears what? True knowledge. It is for sons. Not for this set of Christians who just want to steal from every preacher and hear the new revelation this one has to say here. Jesus said, you must love the process they are given to. This process cooks men. It makes you robust. You see, you read in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah 10 verse 27, that by the reason of the anointing, the yokes break. The anointing we are talking about here is that by the reason of crushing that produces the anointing, yokes breaking. The oil doesn't come until the olive is squeezed. And when the olive is being squeezed, it will think it is being tolerated, but it's only being processed. The places you think you are being tolerated, you are being processed. And the end of the process is that a finished product will come out, and that is the anointing. This kind, there is a kind that comes through impartation. There is another kind that comes through grinding. Huh? Do you get what I'm saying here? No man of God can impart to you all that God has deposited in their lives. If we lay hands on you and say receive double portion, please understand it in context. Understand it in context. That Moses prayed for Joshua, that the same spirit on him should enter Joshua, did not mean that Joshua commanded the same kind of things Moses commanded. Because God said, of all of you prophets, there is none like Moses my servant, that I speak with face to face. He said, if there's anyone here who claims to have heard from me, I've only spoken to you through dreams and visions. A time came in Moses' life, they had to erect a place called the tent of meeting, where visibly every morning Moses will stand with God descending in a pillar, hitting the ground, boom, speaking face to face, and Moses and God will hold hands and enter into the tent. They had to fear him. And yet Joshua was imparted. Impartation is not a license to laziness. After being prayed for, now check the process that men who have imparted you have gone through.
that there is such a thing as submitting your will for his will. That you may have a will in a matter, but now you have to say, nevertheless, at your word, I will drink of this cup. Every fish loves to swim in cold water. But what makes fish edible is hot water. As long as it is swimming in cold water, it is useful for itself alone. But when the heat comes, it becomes useful for people. You think you are a gift to the body of Christ simply because you carry the title pastor? Every gift is first and foremost a sacrifice. And that's why he can give you a way. That you are gift means that it is God that is gifting you. He is giving you out.
Yeah. Jesus.